For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Father, bless the message tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I give you a recap. Back in chapter 18, verse number 9, when Israel shall come into the land, God gave them a great warning. He said, when thou come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Abominations of the nations, the things they were guilty of. The nations they faced at this time as they went into the promised land was, of course, the Canaanites. Very large amount, or five kings of the Canaanites and tribes of them. And some even had other names than just Canaanites. They faced the Hivites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, and the Philistines. They faced the first one was the Amalekites, and then the Hittites and the Moabites. They also would come near to their cousins, the Edomites. The people of Edom were not so much as helpers to them, but they were not quite the enemies that the other nations were. Egypt also made covenants with the Canaanites and other groups because they were opposed to Israel and to try to strengthen that opposition. Now, all of these committed abominations. Back in Leviticus 18, I constantly remind you of this as we look into these things. Leviticus 18 and verse 24. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. And if you go back and read the earlier verses in chapter 18, you will find all of the sins that are mentioned here in much more detail. The abominations, meaning disgusting, detestable, filthy sins. They were connected with idolatry, including human sacrifice of their children. and they committed incest in every variety and in every way, adultery in every way possible. They worshiped the false idols of Molech, which a fire was built in this idol, and that's where they offered their children. And it was also, when it was among the Amorite people, it was called Milcom, which was the same idol and worked in the same way. They offered their children in the fire. In Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 30 through 32, Moses said, "Take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters have they burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." Several times in the Bible, including the book of Revelation, the scripture says we're not to add to the word of God, and we're not to take away from the word of God, not to diminish anything from it. Now, these heathen nations, men lay with men, women lay with women, they lay with beasts. They committed divination, predicting the future with occult practices. They were observing of the times and enchantments and spells and incantations and what we call wizardry and witchcraft. That's exactly what they were guilty of. They consulted with the spirits of the dead, which is necromancy. And they had witches and wizards, and it affected the nation of Israel. And we looked at those four things last time that happened to the people that caused them to sin with these sins. One was their curiosity. And their curiosity of these things, God warned them about not asking after those things and not to commit them. Look at 1 Samuel 28, and we see the witch of Endor, a very well-known passage of Scripture in the Bible. When King Saul would do wrong, he would often go to Samuel and ask Samuel to pray for him with the Lord so the Lord would not kill him or the Lord would not take his kingdom away from him. But now Saul can't find Samuel because Samuel is dead. And so he's trying to ask of God, and God won't respond to him. So let's look at chapter 28. "Came to pass in those days, the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even unto his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." Urim and Thummim is the ephod they would put on with the stones within it to ask the Lord, and it's believed it'd be a white stone and a black stone, and they would take their hand out, and if they had the white stone, that was yes. If they had the black stone, that was no. I think there's a lot more to it than just that. But that was what he's referring to here. God was not answering in him in any way, and nor by prophets he had sought. "Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two of the men with him. They came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he cut off all those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware unto her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what thou sawest, what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I'm sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and has become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyedest not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon the Amalek, which is the Amalekites. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines tomorrow. Shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. He fell on the ground weeping, wouldn't eat. The witch finally got him to eat something after convincing him and other men convincing him, and he finally ate something. But as he went to battle against the Philistines, they killed him. They killed Jonathan, David's beloved brother in the Lord, who had submitted himself below David, as David is the king. And he recognized that he was God's chosen. Though he was the son of the king, he loved David and gave David of his precious things. And they were brothers who loved each other. And now he's dead, and the sons are dead. And this matter of a witch in the land who could call up the dead from paradise. In that day, the place of the dead, Sheol, in the New Testament, Hades, called hell, had two compartments, the place of just punishment for the unbelievers, a place of fire. But it had another place where Abraham was, and the Jews who were believers who died went there in paradise with Abraham, waiting for Christ to be resurrected from the dead. And when he was resurrected from the dead, he ascended to heaven. He took all those captive souls from paradise with him into heaven. And now if we die as believers, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in heaven. But then they waited in paradise until Christ died and rose again from the dead. And so somehow this witch was able to bring up Samuel from the dead to speak to Saul. And these things can titillate, and they can cause people to have curiosity to study into them and ask into them. And God issues warnings clearly. Don't deal with those kind of things. Stay away from them. That's bad medicine, and it's black magic, and we're to stay away from that. God's people, 18:13 of Deuteronomy, chapter 18:13, God's people are to be blameless before the Lord. People of integrity, not who study the stars and live by a horoscope or by people with familiar spirits. We're to be people of integrity with a heart for God. Israel, after seeing and knowing the true God, should never seek a substitute with any of these idols or false gods, because they've They are the followers of the true and living God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. He brought the 10 plagues on the false gods of Egypt, and he wrought destruction to the country of Egypt and led Israel out with their wealth and parted the Red Sea so they could escape, and then closed the sea on the Egyptians as they followed. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God they serve. We still serve the same God that they serve. The Lord is the true God, so we should never seek a substitute. He brought water from a rock for them. He rained down manna from heaven like a dew, and it was a bread for them to eat. And he revealed himself on top of Mount Sinai in a fiery, visible, thundering and lightning, and spoke in thunderous voice. And they were afraid of that, so they told Moses, you know, don't let us speak to God anymore. You go up and speak to God, and then you come back and tell us what he said. Because they were afraid they would die. Kind of like Peter when Jesus approached him, and Peter said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He didn't want to fellowship with Jesus in his condition because he knew he was sinful and that he shouldn't try to approach the Lord, and they saw that. Look at Psalm 135 with me. Psalm 135. Now, your outline there says 136. That's wrong. It's 135. Aren't you glad I double-checked things? Psalm 135 and verse 15. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth unto them. What does that mean? They're like them. It means you're dumb like an idol if you worship idols. Those things can't hear, can't see. They can't answer your prayers. It's something you made with your hands. You're going to bow down and worship. It's foolish for man to do those things. And God rejected any kind of worship of that. The eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God, who's the creator and giver of life, is the God that they worshiped in that day and we still worship today. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, in verse 21, Jesus told the woman of Samaria that she didn't know what she worshiped. In chapter 4, verse 21, Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus made it clear to this Samaritan woman that he was the true Messiah, the Christ, as we call him. The anointed one of God. Both words mean that same thing. The true God we worship. Moses promised God would raise up prophets. Back in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15 through 18. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. And this prophet would tell them what they should know after Moses was gone. Now, look at the New Testament reference I've given you there in Acts chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23. Acts 3 and verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. To speak God's word, there were speaking prophets who talked to the people about God's word, and writing prophets who both preached messages and wrote it down. Nathan was a prophet of God who went to David and said, you have sinned in a grievous way. He gave him an illustration of a man stealing another poor man's sheep. And David said, I'll punish the man. Who is he? And Nathan pointed his finger in his face and said, thou art the man. You've stolen another man's wife and had that man killed. And God had revealed this to Nathan, and he rebuked David, and David repented of the sin he had committed. Elijah and Elisha were preaching prophets, speaking prophets, without writing books of the Bible. But those who wrote, Samuel was the first of the line, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then the 12 minor prophets. Those books were all written by prophets who told Israel what to do and what not to do. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Malachi is the last Old Testament book, and then we're into the New Testament. But there was a period of silent years, 400 years from the time of Malachi, a speaking and writing prophet, until John the Baptist came on the scene as a prophet in the New Testament era. So the history says that Jewish scholars interpreted this particular passage of Scripture about a prophet being raised up from among them as being a prophecy of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6, there's the prophecy that before the great and dreadful day, Elijah will come again to prepare the way of the Messiah. So when John the Baptist came on the scene, many suspected that he was Elijah. And many believe that Elijah will be one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation that will be there to speak to the nation of Israel and prepare the way for the Lord's second coming to earth in Revelation 19 when he shall fight the battle of Armageddon. And that's found in Revelation 11 and verse 3 through 6. I have it written on the top of your page on the back of your message. Now, John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Let's look at a couple of passages in Luke chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. John was a strange fella. He wore a camel hair garment, ate locusts and wild honey, lived in the wilderness. And so they compared him to Elijah for those things as well as for his preaching methodology to condemn their sin and call them back to God. Chapter 3, verse 1 of Luke says, now 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Etruria, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysias the tetrarch of Abilene, and Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. He came in all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. This is John the Baptist. People who read the Bible they start running into these names that are repeated. There are several Marys, there are several Johns, and it can be confusing if you don't learn those things. John the Baptist is the one that did the baptizing. He was not alive when the apostles came along, as the other John, who was one of Jesus' favorite. In John 6, verse 14, wait a minute. John 5, verse 45 first. John 5, 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not of his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Jesus said to them. In John 6 and verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And you'll remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, they said, this is the prophet of Nazareth. In chapter 7 and verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. Some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? So they believed this prophecy of Moses was referring to the Messiah that would come and tell them the things of God. And Jesus was acting as if he was that prophet by telling them God's word. In Acts 3, 19 through 26, Peter mentions this. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God hath made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one from his iniquities. So Jesus had three offices that he fulfilled. First, he was a prophet. He preached the word of God. He revealed things of God to them. What he said was scripture, and it was written down as inspired of God as a prophet. He called them to repentance as John had done. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He was a high priest. Hebrews speaks of his office as a high priest in chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews. And verse, help me out, I keep losing my place. I don't have it in your notes. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there is also the necessity of the death of the testator. So Christ offered himself for our sins, and as the high priest, he offered that sacrifice in the heavenly temple with the Father. When he rose from the dead, he took his blood there and laid it as a sacrifice for us, in the same way a high priest on earth would take the animal's blood in hopes it would cover from year to year, but it would never completely take sin away. The blood of Christ takes our sins away forever and forever. So he's a prophet, and he's a priest, and he's a king. There were kings that spoke the word of God. There were priests who prophesied. There were kings who tried to usurp authority to go into the temple and make sacrifice, but God punished them for that. So there were no prophet, priests, and kings except Jesus. He preached as a prophet to Israel. He interceded for the people as a priest as he offered himself and sacrificed for our sins. Then he ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father as king. And he will come again in Revelation 19 as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and fight the battle of Armageddon and set up his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. We're going to be in heaven with the Lord before that, during what is called the tribulation period on this earth. Thank God when we die today, we go to be with the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, Paul said. But the church will be raptured to be with the Lord. And then at the end of the tribulation, we'll come back to this earth. And he'll fight the battle and set up his kingdom. Boy, I had a whole lot more I thought I was going to get through tonight. But it took me too long to find my places, I guess. Thank you for being here. I hope these things are understanding to you. You got the outline. You can look up those verses and read them again. But if you have any questions, feel free to come see me about them, okay?